This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast, home of the breast milk latte and the greatest gals in galdom. Serene and Pearl, you really blessed me on the last show, gals. And
it's what we do. It's what Serene does.
Actually. I'm starving.
I had no part of it.
We talked about food the whole time, and I got so hungry. And
this is the same day because we double potty.
We double potted, and I'm trying to fix my hunger with this LaCroix, and it's not working.
It's not doing anything, right?
And I want to cry.
Well, you know, hey, talking about crying, do you know how many times I visited the emergency room this past week?
Oh, yeah. You had Sally Dolly Wally.
Just guess how many times I went.
Oh, you mean back and forth?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a good three.
Five.
Five trips?
Five trips!
To the ER?
First one was not anything related to my children being sick. The first one was an actual true accident that happened on the hilltop. Did you hear about that?
No.
Good old Sam boy. Did you hear about it?
I heard he fell off a ladder.
Yeah, 20 feet. He was up on a ladder with an electrical saw.
When you say Sam boy, you mean your husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Electrical saw, trying to saw off this nail high up in our wedding barn. And I suppose just the vibration of the saw. So he's holding this big metal object with a running saw, and he falls all the way down to the concrete. The saw crumples into it. I'm like, darling, it could have cut you in half on the way down.
Yeah, that's like 20-year-old activity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but anyway, so my boys were there, and a couple of them, and they're like, this is it. Dad's gone. Because he's having a seizure on the bottom of the ground.
He had a seizure?
I mean, straight down.
He
it wasn't a glide.
And had a
it's
seizure.
Not, well, it's not a seizure, but it does look like a seizure. When someone goes unconscious and they wake up, it can look like a seizure.
He
was doing
out.
Shaking.
Yes.
He was still knocked out and he was shaking. Mm-hmm. And they come over to him. They're like, Dad, he won't respond. They lift up his head and blood just pours out. They're like, it's done. It's gone. Like they were traumatized for a good few days. So anyway, he can't remember. The last thing he remembers was, crap, I'm going to hit the ground. And then he can't remember till he's in the ambulance. But anyway, so that was, but he's a miracle. He's a miracle. There's just three broken things in his face, like an orbit bone.
Broken,
like,
broken eye socket.
Yeah,
just
broken,
three broken
forehead
things
thing
in his face.
And a septum. And but his arm is really still hurting. His arm caught his whole weight. And it's, I don't know what, we've got to go for a new MRI. But anyway, that's all, but that was the first one. That was a real normal thing to do,
but
go to the ER
for that.
Can
I say something? He is doing well, so it's fine.
Why do you even show up to the podcast? Like, you go through the most extreme things that would break
that's
me as a man.
That's because her husband does things that he said shouldn't have been doing.
Well, he's
it.
Broke you in from
and guess
the
what
beginning?
He admitted to me, and I said, did you tell Serene this? He said, no. So I'm about to tell you something I shouldn't.
Like, Serene, your typical week sometimes is like, my canon event of my life that if I were to face.
Do you know what he was doing?
Who?
Sam.
Who knows?
He was, you don't know this. He was on, high up on that ladder, and he didn't want to get off the ladder and move the ladder to keep doing what he was doing because he had to get it and do it over the, you know,
oh,
a few
feet away.
Oh, he
was hopping it over?
Hopping the ladder.
That's how he fell?
Apparently.
Oh, you just learned this.
Yes. He said, he said it's my fault. What happened was my fault.
He's alive, so I'm not mad.
So did the whole ladder come down?
Well, Pearl was at my house. We heard sirens.
Yeah.
We heard sirens, and I'm thinking to myself, that siren better not be coming for anyone on the hilltop.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Before I could finish the thought, I get a phone call from Sam, and he's like, I'm in the car with Randy, another guy on the hilltop. In the car with Randy, we're going to the hospital. And immediately, see, Randy has a little daughter the same age as Solly, and my older daughter tutors them and watches them in the afternoon. They just do a little playtime. And I'm thinking to myself, two dads? Oh, there's been a car accident with the children, and some of them are dead and some of them are in the ambulance, and the fathers are following. That's my first thought. So I start screaming.
Yes, she did.
Like, I'm freaking, and Pearl's like, calm down. And then he's like, no, it's me. It's me. And then that doesn't help me at all either.
Yeah, but I'm like, he's speaking. He must be alive. And she starts screaming.
These are my final words.
Yes. But he can't even remember that phone conversation. I think somebody prompted, you better call your wife and it should be your voice. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, all that to say, the next emergency trip.
But can I just say something funny? We've got to get on because I know you have a point to all this. The one thing, he lost his memory for a long time. And the only thing he could remember, he couldn't remember the months up to that, but he could only remember being in Scotland with Serene.
What if he went Scottish?
For their
anniversary. You know, some people, they get head
injuries.
Well,
he did. He went Scottish.
No.
When he, well, this is how he went Scottish. So we were thinking,
where's my family?
Well, no, no.
I gotta go. I gotta go see my family.
No, this is how he went Scottish.
Okay, I see so Sam and he's in a kilt from now on.
They won't let me in the ambulance. I follow up with the boys and it's like a really, like it's a real morbid trip up there. But when I finally get to see him, he comes out of the MRI and everything. I finally get to see him, CAT scan, whatever it's called. He's in traction, his neck's all in this thing. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like maybe he's going to have like 8 broken ribs, a broken, he thought my hip's totally broken because he was in so much pain. And I'm thinking hips, you know, for people, you know, that are over 40, hips take a while, you know. I'm thinking, oh no, no, this is terrible. He hates to sit still. But by the end of the night, they're like, you know, you've just got these broken face bones and your arm's all beaten up and he has big bruises up his body. But it's like, you're fine. So we walked out of there. But they'd cut off his clothes, right? In the ambulance, they just cut you down and stab you with all of their, you know, like pain. They had like 2 IVs in him. And so they cut off his clothes. And so he had no clothes to walk out of the hospital in. He had his big work boots. So they gave him his hospital gown.
And his work boots.
So he was the Flying Scotsman. It was his kilt. He had this hospital gown for him. Only came to like high thigh. And he was like, what about me ass? You know, so they gave him one for the other side. So he had one on one side, one on the other.
And so he went to the pharmacy like that, right? And with his boots and his hospital gown.
And it's spelled A-R-S-E.
Yes, that's right.
See, you're allowed to do it with an R.
Oh, if it's Scottish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Anyway, but the real reason that we end up into the emergency room that really bothers me.
Hey, label this a PG, another PG's mic.
Okay. Is that... It bothers me because my little daughter, she ended up going to the emergency room because it was like, it was almost like life and death. She got so sick with a cold that some of the children got like 3 or 4 weeks prior, but they were all getting better. But she was not getting better. And she got to the point where she was like gasping for air in the night and just almost drowning in her mucus. Like it was terrible. And we were trying to do all that we could in the nights, you know, but then one night her heart rate went to 150 and her oxygen went to, we had like a little ox monitor, you know, went to like low 80s. And I'm like, this is not okay. So we rushed to the emergency room and they were giving her breathing treatments and they put her on oxygen and it wasn't enough. They had to keep upping it and upping and upping it. And she had like in all 4 quadrants of the lungs, she had pneumonia. And I'm like, oh, freak
now,
out.
Now, don't think she's a bad mother. Serena had already taken her to a doctor.
Yeah.
And they'd said, oh, okay, she has a cold.
She has bronchitis.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to suck for the next week and a half. You know, she's just going to do a lot of coughing up at night. You're just going to probably sit up with her, sit up in the lazy boy, blah, 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 blah. It was like a fast-paced kind of clinic. And they're like, no, I'm like, but I'm really concerned that it could be pneumonia. I'm really worried about it. No, 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 it's not that. And so... we went home. It was the next night we went in and it was pneumonia.
That's such a lesson too that took us several kids to learn is that like you're not always right as a mom, but often your intuition is like doctor level data. Like because we've had people on both sides, doctors will say nothing, no worries whatsoever. To find out that it's osteomyelitis, we need an emergency surgery within 24 hours or you could lose his arm, you know? And it's like, no, so like my wife was like, no, something is up.
Right.
So like to keep going you know, and we have Vanderbilt in Nashville, you know, so Vanderbilt's a world renowned, people fly in from other countries.
Well, that's
Vanderbilt.
Where we got our best help. We got, that's why there were so many trips to the emergency room because we got let out of hospital too early. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff going on, but we ended up getting our final care in Vanderbilt. It was a great experience for that. But then 2 nights ago, another of my daughters ended up having pneumonia and I had to take her into the emergency room. It just wasn't getting better for her either. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm not being like proud or anything. People get sick when they eat healthy food. Totes they do. But I'm like... Why did half of my children just kind of like get better and these two really just really struggled and got a bad case of this deal? Why couldn't their immune system just kick it? I'm like, what's going on? I was just thinking about this. I'm like, I'm ending up in the hospital, you know, with my child that should have just warded it off. And so as I was thinking this, little Solly, 5 years old, says, Mom, this is in the hospital bed. I love Nana's cookies. And I'm like, Nana doesn't make cookies, darling. I mean, you can make healthy cookies, but Nana really doesn't have the time. She doesn't make cookies. what do you mean Nana's cookies? Oh, she does. I love Nana's cookies and I eat them all up. And I'm like, where do you get Nana's cookies? Oh, I get them in the shed, Granddad's shed. You know, so the story behind that is, you know, in the last potty, my son was talking about how he would sneak donuts because Granddad, for years, he goes to the day-old bakery stuff from all the grocery stores.
He's got a private stash.
And no, he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't like sweets.
No?
But he gets them and he takes them to the poor. It's his little missions thing. He takes bread up to the helping hands.
He doesn't nibble on the way to the poor.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't really love the... He more likes meat pies and dimsums and savory things.
Look at Arden's face, though. He's like...
Anyway, he eats them on the way to the poor. Thank you.
Granddad has a nibble.
But anyway, but sometimes there'll be a little stash... that mum will keep aside for the people for the potluck church that like sugary stuff. So there'll be a little stash there. Well, Solly found that stash and thought, you know, everything's THM. You know what I mean? My children are raised that you can eat cake for breakfast because cake is healthy, right?
On plan.
So she's like, I love Nana's. She was not feeling guilty when she tells me I eat Nanny's cookies all up. So I'm like, oh my goodness.
And she was going over there every day, right?
Because my daughter tutors her over there. And so not necessarily over there, but they often go to the field because there's other little children of the hilltop and they'll play. And oftentimes Solly will go into the restroom. It's not my daughter's fault, but the older one. But she'll go to the restroom and she'll probably run to the shed quickly and grab a cookie or two.
Of course. She
was eating them all up. And I'm thinking, oh, it makes sense. And this was the week when she started really getting downhill. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she was just sabotaging her immune system. And the other daughter that's ended up with a pneumonia, I found out she was the ringleader, the older one. She was 11.
But she knew
she
they
was
were
the one.
She knew they weren't healthy though, right?
Yes, but she said, so-and-so said we were allowed. Some other child on the hilltop said we were allowed. Oh my goodness. I had to give her a big lecture. But anyway, all that to say, it got me started. And I've always known that sugar's bad. We all know. The whole world knows that sugar's bad. The whole world.
Well, can I just stop you right there?
Yes.
Because you're saying the word bad. And a lot of people, right? I know what you're going to say.
Don't get me mad.
I'm doing it so you can say something about this. Okay. I'm not wanting to argue with it about this, but I'm bringing the elephant out into the room. Mm-hmm. You are calling a food bad,
yes,
and many people these days get triggered by it. So I want you to go state your piece.
Can I state my piece? Do you know there are bad things and there are good things? And this whole politically correct scene now where you can't call anything bad, it's like you're not allowed to use judgment in case you trigger somebody or in case you put something in a bad light. Well, sugar needs to be put in a bad light. Now, I think sucking on a cane of sugar, like we've gone to the markets, you know, in different countries, and you can just get those whole canes. In Mexico, you know, and they can just suck on it. And
drop one in your coffee.
It's delicious. Yeah.
Whatever.
And like, and you even have a little bit of sugar, like in 85% chocolate. You wouldn't mind it.
Right.
You're not talking about that.
I'm talking about sugar abuse, real table white sugar in foods in excess. And I'm calling that bad.
Can I bring up one thing and then you can keep going? Because I understand where you're coming from. Some people who have started diets, you know, when they were 8 years old, and they were forced on them and just yo-yo throughout their whole life and were told, you know, this is bad. I can't eat that. You're only going to eat grapefruits for a week.
Yeah.
They feel triggered because it has been a bondage to them of looking
at. I know, but this is where I'd like to bring balance. I'm going to take a deep breath and use mic control.
Good.
Speak gently to the world. I know people too, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, who were raised differently and they were in the nightclub scene. You know, and they were into all kinds of nightlife that they don't...
Raised when they got older.
Yeah. Like they didn't have boundaries so that when they're in their teen years, they just kind of went into scenarios that were not good and they don't feel proud of that. And I know people from that have switched from that and now they don't believe in dancing. They think the drum beat's from the devil because it kind of brings up some base passions, they say, right? Where a heart is a drum beat, right? And the Africans go to church to the drum beat, you know? And so, and they wiggle the bum on the way too.
Yeah.
It's all cultural.
I don't mind wiggling
my bum. But anyway,
but
they go from one... in extreme and they're like, okay, because I don't want to be there anymore, I'm going to go to the other extreme. And that's what I'm cautioning.
Okay.
Just because you were told, you know, that you don't want it, or say, just because you come from an extreme case where you feel like you felt shame for food, and you were felt to feel condemnation for food. Now you don't want to call anything bad. I feel like you're going to the other extreme, and I feel like discernment and judgment is still needed. And there are foods and that are inherently bad because they destroy your body.
You know what though? Sometimes the sugar can be the shame that's talking. You know, like, right. Like you think it's like, I don't want to feel shame around food. It's like you or the sugar in you.
Yeah,
doesn't right. Kind of wants you to have a little hiding place. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, why is it so emotional? I mean, I get how food can make you emotionally good
right.
and emotionally bad, but why is it emotional surrounding the like sanity in giving up abusing sugar? There should, who's triggering? Like, is this real? Like, people are out there, like, angry with people that
you're not allowed to call food bad, but I can do whatever I jolly
You're
want.
Allowed to, and it's so, your party.
Yeah, so
I'm just going to say, yeah. I just wanted to show you, yeah. you know, that there will be conflict.
But I have taught my children that, too. I'm just like, there are foods that are excellent. There are foods yeah. that are good. There are foods that are super. And there are foods that are treats, and there are foods that are bad.
Why is there conflict? Is there actually a danger in saying that abusing sugar is bad? Is someone
yes
harmed?
Because people feel like it can bring on shame and condemnation and not freedom,
but they need that because they're not going to get free unless they feel the discernment, unless they have a clear synaptic understanding that to have it, if you stop saying it's bad, then I feel like the discernment.
Well, you see, to me,
away.
I look at it a little differently. Honestly, I think a lifestyle of sugar is harmful. But as I said last party, you know, maybe twice a year, I will eat a donut or something. And to me, because it's not my lifestyle, to me, it's
but
not
bad. But you still
bad.
Know that food, that,
it's
that,
definitely not healthy
no,
for
that
me.
That pleasurable yeah. experience is not bad because it's twice a year.
Yeah.
But you still know that food is a bad food for your body, so you don't want to eat it more than twice a year.
Right.
You still have the discernment. And that's what I'm trying to ask people, to have the discernment. And so that's what I meant by bad. And now when I was in Vanderbilt, they did excellent for us. They are an awesome hospital.
Yeah, they're you know, like Disneyland for sick kids.
And my son, who, you know, battled cancer for over 6 years, you know, they were amazing with him, and we appreciate them. But I do have to say that the what they call nutrition center, where the mummies get to go and, you know, get little snacks for the children that are sick, or it's also to nurture the parents too, or siblings who are staying in the room so that they can have energy for the long nights, the long hauls with staying up with the sick babies and all those beeps that are going on. And I would like to say that all that food in there is BAD, capital B, capital A, capital D. There was Andy. Nothing
so unafraid.
With nutrition. And I felt all kinds of thoughts. I thought we could get Trim Healthy Mama food in here.
Yeah.
I was thinking, where is the, see, because we can't call it in society bad, there is now this big, big hole of where knowledge and understanding does not meet common sense. And we have junk food in there, like it was Teddy Graham's crackers. That was one of the snacks. It was high fructose corn syrup little custard cups. It was the imitation flavored non-fat yogurts. It was all kinds of pop. It was CRAP. That's even worse.
Do you think there
than
could be, because I'm always wanting, like in my head, I have this fantasy that I'm going to, like I don't have a YouTube channel. I thought about launching a YouTube channel, right? And maybe I will. And I was like, well, what would I say on the YouTube channel? And like one of the fantasies is this video where I'm like calling for like the government to change the public school educational system, and that someone in the government would actually see it, someone that could pass laws and implement change, or a group of people. And then they would be like, yeah, all right, I saw this video and I was inspired. And they actually go and they teach kids things they'll use in life, not just the act of learning hard things, which I don't believe in. There's a time for that, by the mm-hmm. way, but like a very much smaller percentage. Mm-hmm. But like so much of school, public school, is a lot of learning, a lot of useless stuff. There is so much that's useless. And I was rebellious as a teen and I was like, this is all crap. And they're like, well, when you get older, you'll see. But I'm older now. Mm-hmm. I got kids in college and it's a lot of crap. And so I've been sort of reworking my kids' schooling. One of my sons is homeschooled.
Yeah.
And we have a super cool school paradigm that he's doing, and it is so useful, and he loves it. He actually loves school. Like, raise your hand if you love school. No hands are up. Nobody likes school, but he loves his school for the first time in his life.
Wow.
But that's so, like, with, you know, food and hospitals, it's just, it's so easy for us to sit here and say, of course, that high fructose corn syrup will weaken your immune system. You're in a children's hospital. Why would you not tomorrow remove all of it?
Yes.
And bring in, like, plants and meat and things that are going to not cure children. We get that it's not all inclusive, but it's going to help
part of it.
Provide it an infrastructure for the medicine to work better. Why would that not happen tomorrow?
Fruits. Imagine, you know, I mean, like,
there was no fresh fruit. There was, in fact, when I ordered off of the menu, Vanderbilt was better, but it was. But there's another hospital in the town. The vegetables look like they've been sat on by a mangy horse for 7 years and rats had nibbled on the edges. I ordered a hummus mangy and veggie horse. Plate.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, and the veg, and they were bendy.
Aww.
And I was like, what? I don't even understand it, but I do have some stuff. Well,
is it a budget thing? Like, I'm not trying to criticize, because, you know, while I sit upon my padded chair, I mean, some of these hospital workers are like front lines saving kids' lives.
Look,
so I'm not
lentil
here judging that.
Soup, like oatmeal that's not just quick oats and filled with sugar and
everything
like that.
Yeah, but you see,
like,
kids aren't even used to eating that, so they're not about to start.
I know, but
it's
kids aren't used to being hooked up to chemo yet either.
That's
kids
what
aren't
I'm
used
saying.
To a lot of stuff they go to hospital for.
But you see what? The reason they do it is because they want people to buy it, because people are used to buying that.
Right.
You know, that's the reason.
But I think it should be changed.
Yes. Well,
as I talk about doing this YouTube thing, I forget. We're on YouTube. I'm saying it right now. So maybe, you know, and you know, somebody could be in the system that could be like, yeah, I could make some phone calls, and it may not change nationwide, but at my local clinics, at my kids' hospitals, maybe
something
could happen.
I think they're trying, and I think it can be made delicious. All their milkshakes are made in the base of ice cream. I don't have words. But anyway, I do want to say this, that I got so fired up, I even called my mum, and I'm like, Mum, that stash has got to go from that shed. I mean, and I also talked to her about Sunday potluck. I'm like, is there any way we can nicely say to the people who bring sugar, like, is there any way we can nicely say, if you don't have children, but you're bringing it for the children, you don't have to stay up at the hospital for a week every night, you know, like freaking out
so
that they're
fair.
Gonna die. Do you have to, like, deal with the moods? You know how you said your daughter gets the pitchfork out when she gets on a
yes.
junk food mood? I'm like, why are people not, they don't have to deal with the consequences, but they love to feed our children sugar.
Yes.
And I'm like, is there any way we can nicely say, hey, you know, we appreciate you bringing stuff, but if you're bringing it just for the children, which most of them do, just if they are not your children, you don't have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
Maybe think about
that.
Yeah,
this
please.
Is a message for all the grandparents out there. This holiday season, when you want to be the hero, coming in, swinging in with the cookies, like, think about somebody else for the first time.
Well, I think, you know, this is very timely. This is about to go out right before the sugar season, okay? Mm-hmm. So keep going.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know,
did you even label this party yet?
Well, I thought that, you know, I was going to call it if you give a girl a cookie, you know, but really it's if a girl steals a cookie, you know.
Like the consequences if
you
give a mouse a cookie.
If you give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah.
Because there is a domino effect, you know. So in my life, it's if a girl steals a cookie, she's going to get a cough.
She's going to go to the ER.
If she's going to get a cough, she's going to end up drowning on her phlegm. If she's drowning on her phlegm, her mom's going to have a panic attack in the house. If the mom's having a panic attack in the house, they're going to drive 90 miles an hour to the emergency room, and it all spirals down from there.
Yes. That would be a great book if you give a mouse a cookie and then go down that stair step of hell.
Oh.
That it leads to the end.
I would
leads
love
to
write that book. I would love to write that
it's
book.
It's
going to
be a bestseller.
Whole mouse a cookie ends to a glass of milk and ends to a picture that you put on your fridge.
Yeah.
That is so the fairy tale. It's not even true.
It is the fairy tale.
The mouse dies at the end of this book.
I know. In the fairy tale, it ends with this beautiful bonding moment I don't know about the book itself, but that is the, like, not, like, now I just, in this podcast, I just got angry with old people. All of a sudden, because I have, my youngest is 10, so it's not so much anymore. But I remember when we were having toddlers, you know, and the 5-year-old and younger.
It's the little ones that, and it's dangerous.
That are so affected by the sugar overdose, by the cute little smiling grandparents.
Because they don't have a turn off. Yeah. So you think they've had one cookie.
It makes me furious.
And then they've had seven.
Yeah, you know? And they peanut butter vomit. They
you know how puppies don't know when to stop?
All night.
Yes.
At both ends.
But why then?
Okay, so let's talk about it. Okay, so I have been in the hospital all week. I only just kind of got out the other day, only to return with my other daughter, which didn't have to stay, but it was a long, you know, 5 hours in the emergency. Oh, I forgot to say, when I got Solace home, then she got allergic to the penicillin, the amoxicillin, and she got angioedema of the face. And like,
she had to go back.
Which is like, she was a swollen
you're covered
plum,
in sores. Yeah.
Covered it. Yeah. And so anyway, so I haven't had time to really rewrite this into my own words. I just copied and pasted a bunch of PubMed stuff. So I'm just going to speak
out.
Are
we a controversial podcast?
But
I feel controversial.
But we all know, studies show, they've shown for years that sugar intake suppresses the immune system. There's no new billboard for all of us. But, you know, it's actually interesting because we know that, and that's why diabetics oftentimes, you know, are more prone to infections.
Yeah.
Because they have so much high blood sugar all the time in their system, and that's why they were the comorbidity for COVID too, because mm-hmm. you're more susceptible to get viruses in the air because your high blood sugar is high. But children are being allowed to have this in their system.
Yeah.
They get pre-diabetic. I feel like I'm on a high horse, and I feel righteously allowed to be here just for this podcast.
Yeah, you know what?
There are 7-year-olds with diabetic tires and parents thinking, oh, I'm going to get healthy, and they eat healthy and they're trying to kick their pop habit, but they're still allowing pop to be in the house. They're still allowing their children to walk into these diseases. And I'm just trying to question it today and say, you know, and the podcast before this, we talked about oftentimes it takes their own experience to learn before they really get maybe an anchor into the idea of health for themselves. But I do want to challenge it and say, is it fair for us to wait for them to actually have to get diseases and actually have to get where they're desperate and they're ill? I don't want my children to have diabetic tires around their waist at 7 and 10. This is a problem of the modern age. Children used to run around wiry. There was the occasional child with metabolic issues. And it was, you can get even a child in a family. They all eat the same. Mm-hmm. One child will have a metabolic issue. That's a genetic thing that they need help with. There's no shame of that. They need to get help. But a lot of the problems we're seeing today in our modern age is inflicted on them from the diet they're allowed to eat. And their mom and dad may not even eat that kind of diet, but they just think, oh, it's okay. I can't change it for my children. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want the fits. And so they allow it. But I'm saying, what is better? Having a little bit of that, where there's a little bit of the
conflict
where you're changing over the way you eat in the home. Isn't that better than having a serious conflict on a cellular level in your child's system, or setting them up for metabolic issues for life? That actually metabolically injure them, and it's so much harder to turn around. You can't turn it around, but it's hard. So many of our Trim Healthy listeners, they've had that hard turnaround where it hasn't been easy for them, where it's been, you know, it's been a decade of a health journey for them to finally get in the direction of goal weight. And so I'm asking, I'm pleading, let's have a sane look at this whole thing again about sugar, and especially sugar for our children. Too much sugar in your system, it allows the bacteria viruses to propagate much more because your initial innate system doesn't work as well. And that what happens is the killer cells, and we all know this, the white blood cells, you know, they're just inhibited. They're almost paralyzed for 5 hours just after eating one sugary, I think it's up to like 70 grams of sugar. You know, if you go to a petrol station and you read the back of any of those little Pop-Tarts, those little normal granola bars.
They're like 50 to 80.
Yes. Wow. It easily falls into that category. And you've got a 5 hours where your killer cells are totally disabled. And the biggest problem here is when I said, you know, it hinders that first frontline, that innate response of the immune system, because it drives up inflammatory cytokines, which damages the blood vessel and activates your immune system to go repair all of this damage. So instead of your immune system coming to actually ward off the dangerous invaders, bacteria, viruses. It's actually fixing damage that's done by the inflammation of the sugar.
Okay.
So it's a major distraction, really.
So
of
we're
the
not
immune
talking
system.
Like, I think, you know, in the past when I heard stuff like this, I didn't really take it seriously in that I thought, okay, sugar weakens the immune system. We're talking 1%, but nothing that would actually be felt in my life. It would theoretically, hurt the immune system.
No, basically you could sleep 8 hours. You could have drunken all your 4 quarts of water or whatever your whole thing is. You know, you can have had no sodas the day before and been in a, you know, working out in the gym and then go eat crap at the petrol station, and for five hours, your immune system is disabled.
Yeah.
And
like
children are having that every time grandma comes to visit.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
So I've really learned with baobab over the years that it is my food multivitamin. I mean, it's so high in the minerals, so high in the vitamin C, so high in the antioxidants. I want to find more ways that I can just shove it into my food life.
You know what, Pearl, what you were saying about baobab is so true. It's just boosts your nutrition in every aspect. I mean, it has more antioxidants than RCIA and blueberries put together. It has more calcium than milk. It has more potassium than bananas. We really love to just have a lot of plant food and veggies. But sometimes I go to my fridge and I'm like, ook, my salad is gross. I'm like, I really want to amp my plant food. I just know that I've got that wonderful baobab in my cupboard and it's probably got more nutrients than that salad could ever give me.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way of me knowing, okay, Serene, you're covered with your nutrients.
One thing for me that has been just so incredible that I'm doing pretty much on a daily basis, I love to make a kefir bowl, but you can do the same with blended cottage cheese or Greek yogurt. I just put it into my kefir, about 2 tablespoons actually. I put in some protein powder in my kefir bowl along with the baobab, and it comes to a lovely thickness. I put a little stevia in there, and that's kind of the basics of my bowl, and now it's all about the toppings. So I can go carbs, I can put a bunch of granola, I can put blueberries, I can put goji berries, or I put my fats, I can put nuts, and I can put other berries and nut butter. And it is, I look forward to it every day as my afternoon snack. Get your baobab boost powder at trimhealthymama.com.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah, and it's the other way too, right? Like, I would always picture that, you know, eating the right foods, you know, strengthen, you know, vitamin C, for example, strengthens the immune system. I would picture it like, yeah, sort of, maybe, kind of. But like, I'm actually, once I think too that I started like getting my body more healthy and able to eat healthy food and feeling better and brighter, which sounds so crazy, like feeling better, not better morally. I mean, better like in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like
cellularly.
I felt smarter. You know what's wild too? I mean, I've only been on this journey since I started this podcast. You know, so it's a little unfair for me. I get like this weekly dose, right? And so, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's why this podcast is powerful for people.
It's your health church.
It's a
day.
Weekly dose. But yeah, I get to sit in the midst. But, you know, I've felt in the past couple years, like in my brain, I'll just be going through the day and it'll just be like this little piss, and it feels like honey and good, like, it's like I'm feeling more too. Mm-hmm. Like I'm feeling like almost euphoric, almost like back in the drug days, like, oh, I'm feeling kind of high here. But it's like this, like just this good feeling in my body that it feels connected to the way I eat.
You know,
like it's felt is my whole point here.
Inflammation is a sugar fog that comes to the brain.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that later. And I want you to talk now, Pearl, but I just want to say soon we're going to talk about how it actually affects the neuro.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did have to say, you know, I used to hear from a lot of Trim Healthy Mamas that came from a sugar lifestyle, and I've never been on a sugar lifestyle, but came from it, and they would have a hard time, you know, transferring over away from sugar, and then they'd start to feel so good. And then they'd put sugar in their bodies, like Nadia, who's been on this party, put sugar in their body, they literally feel it. And I was like, I never feel it.
That's why I asked you about the jelly donut in the other podcast.
No,
or whatever.
I never really do. I mean, I think it's because I never had a problem with it, maybe.
Sure,
So it doesn't really affect me. However, in the last couple of years, I've adopted so many more of your ways, Serene. I'm a kefir person. I feel like I've upped my health, like significantly. You know, I just love the way I eat. I have blueberries every single day. I have salmon almost every day. I'm just eating the foods that I love that are best for me. Now I do notice a difference. If I just go out to a restaurant and just have a meal, you know, and it's not something that I've made at home and I'm doing that for a couple of days, I literally am starting to feel a difference just because those superfoods are not coming into me.
Yeah.
And I feel this, like I have more aches and pains.
That's happened since the amino acids for me.
Really?
Yeah. Adding amino acids when I don't, it's like, you know, like I never wanted to feel addicted to anything. I've never been I'll drink coffee infrequently.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to get hooked. Because I know what it's like. If I drink coffee 2 days in a row, day three, no coffee, it's crazy. I'm like sick and can't do anything. So I'm real sensitive to stuff like that. But I notice in a good way, without that amino acid balance, what's it doing?
The essential? Oh, it's just repairing everything in your body.
Oh, just that. Yeah, just fixing everything. You feel it when it's not there. And
yeah,
I feel
do.
Really like more on point mentally.
Mm. Oh, it's so huge.
Is that
for
an
the brain.
Amino acid?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It takes glucose and energy to the brain.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the euphoria as I'm feeling, because I'm feeling like good in the, when I say good, I mean like borderline, like I took a drug or something.
And we want to, and let's get back to this children thing.
Yeah.
And us too. When we give them sugar, and then expect them to behave like wonderful members of society. You know, we're asking something, and we're setting them up for failure, and also ask them to concentrate on school. You know, we're setting them up for failure when we're feeding them this junk. And sometimes we think we're feeding them healthy, like a low-fat sweetened yogurt, just a regular yogurt. You know, one that you haven't worried has stevia in it. It's just, oh, here's a low-fat yogurt. You know, a peach Yoplait or whatever, Danone, whatever.
You're calling out
47
names.
Grams of sugar is in an average normal yogurt. And these are
in one of those
small
little
things.
Cups?
They're not even, they're like quarter cup weird things.
Yeah, they're tiny.
It's not even a cup of sugar of yogurt. That's how many grams of sugar?
47 is the average.
That's all sugar in some yogurt.
And then think of your young bucks, your young teen boys. Sports drinks can have, the low end is 35 grams of sugar per one.
Oh yeah.
And that's just normal. And so, you know, I just want to read a little bit here. Elevated glucose in the blood leads to excessive pro-inflammatory cytokine production. High sugar intake has long been recognized as a potential environmental risk factor for increased incidence of many non-communicable diseases, including obesity, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, and type 2 diabetes. Mm. But I just want to stop there for a second. What about communicable diseases? Because my child succumbed, you know, to communicable diseases, things that they would normally have warded off. My children haven't had flus in forever. But, you know, that sugar, it made them part of the communicable deal that's going around.
Well, it made them not be able to get over them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's a correlation too in, you know, winter and sickness with the increase in sugar as well?
Well, I mean, Halloween, October 31st, right? Think about it. Every beginning of every season, basically the fall winter season, it starts with massive amounts of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Massive amount, yeah.
I always did let my children get some, but it was after that first night, it's gone.
You let them participate in Lucifer's
birthday? I did let them participate, but we didn't do Lucifer stuff. We called it, you know, fall day.
Oh,
and
you
they
christened
got to dress
it up?
I christened it up.
That's cute.
But, you know, I would allow, like they were allowed to, they loved, because it's all about for my boys who could get the most, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like
sure.
a competition.
It's like a mindless amount of...
But that they could do it. But then they couldn't keep it in the house after that first night because it was going to bring... It was going to make our season horrible.
Yeah. Well, so we... That's tough because, we let our kids participate and they have these pillowcases.
Yeah.
Like filled to the top, not with pillows, but with candy. And... we live in a decent town. Like, we got the good stuff.
Oh, your neighborhood. Oh, my goodness.
Bars.
And
need to come
I'm going to bring the balance just for people listening that don't do Halloween.
Yeah.
I didn't do Halloween. So you can still stay and listen to
Oh, look at her. She broke the fourth wall when she said it all proudly.
Oh, she did. She got haughty, didn't she?
Not proudly.
She's reaching out. She's reaching out to her conservatives.
With the listeners
that don't.
Thank you, Pearl. Okay, let me continue here.
Okay.
The consumption of high sugar beverages and processed foods has increased significantly over the past 30 years. I thought to myself it was decreasing.
Me too.
My brain, I'm like, people must know. After being in Vanderbilt, I realized they don't know. Here we summarize the effects of I've just copied and pasted. Sorry for the plagiarizing, guys. I didn't have time because I was at the hospital with my sugared children.
You're PubMed-ing it out.
Yeah, PubMed-ing it out. We summarize the effects of consuming high levels of dietary hexose on rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, inflammatory bowel disease, and low-grade chronic inflammation. Based on these reported findings, we emphasize that dietary sugars and mixed processed foods may be a key factor leading to the occurrence and aggravation of inflammation. We concluded that by revealing the roles that excessive intake of hexose, that sugar, has on the regulation of human inflammatory diseases are fundamental questions that need to be solved urgently. Moreover, close attention should also be paid to the combination of high glucose-mediated immune imbalance and tumor development. Cancer forming from sugar.
Can I interrupt you there?
Yes.
Because this is where, you know, I've been feeling a little bit judgy on this podcast because I'm coming against sugar like some pro. And I mean, God knows I've slipped my sugar into sometimes. But here's where it got real for me personally, is that you're talking about inflammation and gut issues and the lining of the gut being
stripped. Oh, we're
going to
go deeper. Yes, we will.
Right. So I heard this quote is like, everybody wants to talk about, and I'm not saying food is evil or good, but you are.
I am.
I'm not.
I am.
But I agree with you, but not publicly.
Make so, you stand, Dan.
So, everybody, I've heard this phrase, we all want to say there's evil in the world, but nobody wants to put a face on it. Like, nobody wants to talk about where. It's just like, the evil out there. But we don't want to, like, talk about, like, certain media outlets. We don't want to talk about certain educational systems, you know? Not that anyone...
I don't mind talking about
no,
it.
We don't,
yeah, that's
not.
Her other podcast.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, that's the Serene Show. You know, but there was a while where I was... When I first started working with you two, and I would say, okay, sure, food can really... tear your body down. I believe that theoretically, but I didn't want to put like a name to it. I didn't want to say choosing that refined white sugar will give me inflammatory bowel disease and it will do it for sure.
Yeah.
Because, and I wanted, and I was hallucinating. I was living in a hallucination that it ran in my family. That's actually what where I started with you.
And I love what you said, and it will do it for sure. It will do it for sure.
For
now,
sure.
Pearl.
It will cause inflammation.
Only has it
for
twice
sure.
a year. So it
well,
won't
no,
it
probably more than that sugar on a whole.
No,
but my
like
donut. My donut.
Yeah, you have 85% chocolate. I'm not talking about
that.
Her donut twice a year, right? So it's not going to do it for sure. But you don't, a child doesn't have those parameters. And when you bring it into the house or you allow them to have whatever at the potluck table, I'm just trying to say that's not twice a year. They will be coming down with these things. I'm not trying to be morbid. For sure. America is ill. For sure.
For sure.
So fructose and glucose are both considered to be sweet sugars, right?
You're going to have to paraphrase because we're not allowed to read from something. We get in trouble.
Oh, paraphrase. I'm paraphrasing a lot. I'm changing a lot here. You know, a lot of people say, well, I keep away from high fructose corn syrup. They think that's the baddie. Well, it is very, very bad. But glucose in excess is just as bad. They have different reasons why they're bad.
Sucrose is not just glucose. Sugar is not just glucose.
I know, it's high fructose. Yeah. High fructose. It's fructose too.
Yeah, fructose
but
too.
But you know, the United States currently is the major user of high fructose corn syrup out of all the countries
yes,
in the
world.
Yes,
and do you know, Arden just sent me something.
But
your
high
son.
Fructose corn syrup is now produced throughout the world with factories on every continent except for the Antarctica. And we know that it's causing disease.
Yeah.
But the factories are on every continent of the world.
Yeah.
I'm just upset right now in a holy, righteous way.
Well, it's addictive. I mean, it's an addictive drug.
What does this say?
Do you
Arden, look, he just sent me. He said in the 1900s, the average person had how much? Half a pound of sugar per year. And now what is it?
It's like probably
that
a day, if not more.
Yeah.
At the beginning,
he just said
at the beginning
that a day
of the 21st century.
Probably that a day.
I am paraphrasing all this. At the beginning of the 21st century, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported that the consumption of soft drinks per capita in the United States had increased by about 500% over the past 50 years. 500%.
Yeah.
So fructose intake actually promotes more lipid deposition in the visceral adipose tissue, like around the organs. Yeah. But the glucose consumption appears to favor more subcutaneous adipose
yes.
tissue. They're both bad.
Okay, so this is what Arden sent me. In 1700, the average person consumed about 4.9 grams of sugar each day. And then it goes 1800, 1900, it creeps up. But in 2009, it's probably worse because you said in the last 10 years it's got worse. The average person consumes approximately 227 grams of sugar per day.
Per day.
Look, I'm...
That's 81 kilograms per year.
Relevant randomized control trials have also confirmed that people who drink at least one soft drink a day, people that get down to one, they think they're doing good, have a 44% higher risk of developing metabolic syndrome than people who do not drink soft drinks. One a day. A lot of parents are like, well, they just have one a day mm-hmm. and then I'll make them drink their water and have their baby carrots. One a day gives them a 44% higher risk of developing metabolic syndrome.
And that like 44%, like there's 10 people in a room. Mm. You all drink a Coke
one
a day.
One Coke a day.
Almost five half. Of you, half of yes. you will develop.
Whoa. Analysis of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. Number three, that's related real. Mortality cohort data shows that the intake of added sugar can lead to the occurrence of hypertension, stroke, coronary heart disease, and dyslipidemia, thereby increasing the risk of death. And it's got the PubMed Huang et al. Studies, Sprague, Dawley, whatever. Anyway, they had Sprague, Dawley rats with fructose in their diet and found for the first time that a high fructose diet was associated with hypertension. See, a lot of times they're like, well, my husband, you know, he doesn't really have
metabolic
issues.
Yeah, he can't eat salt because he's got high blood pressure.
Right, he's not fat, so he can have his sodas.
Yeah.
But he's got hypertension. It's coming from his sodas.
Well, what they do is they take people off salt.
A lot
and it's
of
the
husbands
sugar doing
will
it.
Will be like, I can eat this sugar crap. Look at me, I don't gain weight. All their strokes and heart disease and blood pressure issues, they're from these sugars.
There's gym bros dying of heart issues and yep. they're muscular. They look all because they're burning off their sugar. They're, mm-hmm. I say burning it off. It's still.
And I can cite the studies, but several other statistical studies conducted follow-up surveys of different populations and concluded that sugar intake is positively correlated with coronary heart disease, vascular events, heart failure and stroke. It is necessary to strengthen the social supervision of sugary processed foods. That's why I'm trying to strengthen the social supervision of our potluck at church. The World Health Organization,
message
the WHO, which is not necessarily the strongest, I'll put it nicely, mm-hmm. believes that sugar's consumption varies with age and country, and their guidelines strongly recommending reduced intake to less than 10% of total energy intake. That's not happening. It's not happening in our hospitals. The Scientific Advisory Committee on Nutrition in England has also issued a similar policy recommending that the upper limit of sugar intake should not exceed 5%. Europe is always a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, they care strict. About quality of foods. They don't allow aspartame over there.
Really?
You know, the impact of sugars on inflammation was previously unknown. They thought it was just immune system, but they're realizing now that excessive sugar intake is closely associated with the development of low-grade chronic inflammation and autoimmune diseases. It's linked to...
You know, speaking of, like, you know, people that face hard things, like we talked last party about Art and your son who faced cancer. You know, my daughter Autumn and I, we kept saying, oh, she's so crunchy, she makes up for some of my others in my family that aren't. But there was a trigger for her. You know, she developed an autoimmune disease, psoriasis, and, you know, she's a beautiful young girl and large patches of psoriasis on her arms and knees. And
it was a strep virus.
Yeah, it came from a strep virus originally. But that was the thing that made her so crunchy. She was like, well, she started to read about autoimmune. Sugar is the exasperate of it. Sugar causes it. Sugar makes it so much worse. It's just she went off sugar. She hasn't touched. She's like Arden. Because she is fighting something, she hasn't touched sugar. Mm. She's still not quite over her psoriasis. Cleared up so, so much, though, just going off sugar and just eating all the superfoods that she has. But she still struggles with the essence of it there, but it's nothing like it was.
Oh,
Is Hashimoto's a sugar problem?
Well, Hashimoto's is autoimmune. Right. I mean, we can't like directly relate everything. You ate a bit of sugar and now you have Hashimoto's. It's just that obviously it wears down your immune system.
It's just revealed now that dietary sugar is a key factor in inducing this low-grade chronic inflammation, which does exacerbate autoimmune and can trigger autoimmune diseases and even neuroinflammation.
You were going to talk about the brain before we go.
But no, actually, I want to move on to the gut. But I just wanted to say, I'm going to... We're at 48. So I just want to... Gut is more of our deal right now.
I do need to hear the brain for me too. So let's do gut and brain. Let's do them quick.
Adipose tissue is... But interestingly, I just wrote this down. I just copy and pasted this. Do you know adipose tissue is one of the largest endocrine organs in our body?
So our
and affects
tissue.
Local and systemic immune function and metabolism by secreting inflammatory factors. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So when we're overweight, it's not just that it's unhealthy for, you know, our organs, and it's we always call it inflammatory weight. Remember?
Yes.
But it's actually because it's actually
secreting
imbalancing
things.
Our hormones.
It's secreting things?
Yes.
What
it's
is
secreting?
It secreting?
Inflammatory factors.
Wow.
And it becomes our largest endocrine organ. Isn't that interesting?
That is fascinating.
Then I could tell you what it secretes and go on, but let's go on. The gut microbiome has also been the focus of research in the effects of dietary sugars on inflammation. It mainly includes two aspects. High consumption of sugar reduces microbial diversity and leads to depletion of luminal short-chain fatty acids. The short-chain fatty acids can affect the recruitment of colonic regulatory T cells and the antibacterial activity of macrophages.
Well, to put it in like plain language, short-chain fatty acids...
It affects those T cells, which are your fighting killer cells, and it basically puts them in... what do you call it? In straitjacket?
Yes, but short-chain fatty acids are absolute crucial, Serene, for your metabolism. Oh, yeah. If you don't have a large, robust amount of short-chain fatty acids, you are almost fat loss resistant.
Exactly.
Short-chain fatty acids fuel your body to burn fat. And so sugar destroys them.
And therefore, it affects the intestinal mucosal immune system.
Okay.
The damaged intestinal barrier is unable to prevent the invasion of pathogenic microorganisms.
In other words, leaky gut.
Shashan Shah, it must be the doctor, and colleagues suggest that high glucose can increase the levels of inflammatory cytokines, the IL interleukin-6, and the TNF, and there's all these like speaking in tongues things that I'll just leave out for everyone, by altering gut microbiota composition, mucosal association, and functional activity, thereby aggravating the progression of inflammatory bowel disease. And so, and it goes on about, Pearl, the other day when you were talking about the gut, it said that the Bacillus fragilis and Prevotella are abundant in mice fed with a high glucose diet, while the relative abundance of the sugar-soluble bacteria Satureliaceae is capable of transplanting to the, it's all this doctor speak. But basically, those things induce an inflammatory response. But in contrast, the abundance of the Lactospirosae and the Lactobiliaceae,
and that comes
belonging
from like
to the Firmicutes, which you were saying we've got to get the Firmicutes. They all decrease with high sugar. They decrease in your gut lining.
Wow! So it kills off the Firmicutes, and Firmicutes are what you need.
Yes. Yep. And it goes on and on and
can
on
you,
about how.
Can you tell me something about the brain? Because Danny's brain's kind of fading right now.
Well, Pearl,
my brain's not fading.
I don't have it here.
Oh, you don't? I was waiting for the brain
stuff. I had it that
all I remember is from our studies, especially in children.
I was copying and pasting and I thought I copied and pasted, but I had also deleted a bunch
of
stuff.
I'll explain it.
But I had put down
that you can help me before we leave because we're going.
Neuroinflammation.
Especially in children though. We used to think that sugar in children, remember we would call it a sugar rush and like, children are in a sugar rush and they go mad and, you know, pretty soon they'll crash. And what they've found out now is it's actually not a sugar rush. It's fight or flight. It's actually a surge of adrenaline because the body senses a lot of sugar. The body knows it's harmful.
The body senses an emergency. Yeah. That's why it's fight or flight.
And sends out a surge of adrenaline that empowers children. They go nuts. They're like, it's like getting a shot of adrenaline. You know, when you've seen it on a movie. Someone's like this, and then they show up them, and then they're like, oh, I'm Superman again. And then I go, you know, defeat the bad guy because I got a shot of adrenaline.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happens to children.
Yes, it's not a sugar high. It's an adrenaline
rush. Shot of adrenaline, which is so harmful because it taxes the adrenal glands. It pulls down the immune system, having that much adrenaline in your system.
Actually, the sugar high is really a sugar low. You get this adrenal rush and then you get this.
And then a tank.
The tanking.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's to do. Was that to do with the brain? Not really.
Well, the fact is that, you know, you can feel it anecdotally. You've felt it, Danny. You know, you get the fog of the brain.
But can we just come to a little bit of balance right at the end of this before we leave? I know you don't want some, but I'd love to bring some. I agree that sugar, I loved it. And I let you, and I loved it, and it was called for.
But don't end with the
I want to end with something.
Icing.
No, I want to say something. You should listen.
Like sugary icing.
You should listen to this. As Trim Healthy people living this lifestyle, we are not living a lifestyle of sugar. But there will be little amounts of sugar that are just in there. And I don't think we should feel fear, shame, any of these things.
I'm
and
going
live
home
in a
to have 85% chocolate with
live
that
in a
little
state
bit of sugar in it.
Of paranoia. I don't, it could go extreme.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I'm saying.
Could it? That's what I'm always wondering, though. Why? Who's going extreme?
I've seen some people like
can
this.
Can I just tell you something?
Like,
she used to be like that a little bit.
I want to say this. I think it's extreme how the world is living.
Yes.
It's dangerous. And I'm just trying to shake everybody and say, hey, let's get to the healthy, which is what you're calling balanced.
Yeah.
I am not ashamed of my 85% chocolate. No. It has cane sugar in it. Organic cane sugar. Who cares? It's not enough to do anything
to my blood.
It's like
4 grams for a full thing.
Yeah, it's not enough to do anything. I'm not afraid of my fresh fruit. I'm not afraid of my grains and my bread and my sweet potatoes. I'm all about carbohydrates. And I'm not afraid of honey and things like that. I don't believe you should abuse things like honey or dried fruit, but I have it every day. But I'm just saying, if Pearl wants to have a donut a couple times a year, I'll sit by her and I'll even look at her with a smile.
She will.
I'm not imbalanced in that way, but I'm saying people these days are allowing their little children to have diabetic tires on their stomach. Is it okay or is it abuse? Mm. Is it abuse to allow your children to grow up with addictions? We say, oh, you know, don't vape, but you allow your children to be addicted to Skittles? Don't vape, but go and fill your pillowcase at Halloween and keep it in your room?
Mm.
Real talk.
It is real, Serene, and I think that's how we should end, because I agree.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
The
reason why vapes on my brain is when I work out, I listen to Spotify. My worship on Spotify.
Do you vape a little when you work out?
I thought
out?
You were listening to inspo songs.
Yes, but I'm now to the zen of worship. I really like to just, it's my time with the Lord.
Are you zen? You zen with workout?
No, I like soft worship music now. I'm back over the hump.
Oh, you sprint with your inspo.
Sprint.
Nice.
So I'm really, really enjoying that. And on Spotify, I don't pay for it, so I get the ads. And so I get this government against vaping ads, you know, like the real weight about vaping. So vape was on my brain. But guess what else comes? They say all this anti-vape, but then they have sugar ads that come up for Skittles, for the new flavor of Starburst things. Like anytime you listen
to rainbow.
Yeah, taste the rainbow. All of this kind of stuff. It's all sugar. So they have government paid ads against vaping. And then, I don't know, every second ad is a candy.
See you, everybody.
Then I'll be true nothing, mama, to stay.